thank you for your generous support of WMIE. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at our church. And we're believing for great things in the days to come. And, you know, I'm still growing. I'm hoping that that's not my waistline that's growing. I'm hoping that I'm still growing spiritually, because I want to be more effective at the end of my life than I am at the beginning of, than I was at the beginning of my life. And, you know, Kenny Rogers had a country and western song, and it's like, let's go out in a blaze of glory. Well, that's kind of the way that I want my ministry to be. I want to go out doing great things for God instead of, you know, going out with a whimper. I want to go out with a bang whenever that time comes, preferably the rapture of the church. But, you know, I'm a big fan of spending forever in heaven with Jesus, and I hope that you are as well. So today is April the 27th. This is the day that is got more birthdays at Merit Assembly of God than any other day on our calendar. Today is my daughter's birthday. It is her golden birthday. I didn't even know what that was until my wife told me what that was. You know, that means that the day of the birthday is the same day as the number of years she is old. So she's looking forward to that, and we'll have to see what sort of celebration we are able to partake of, because she lives outside of the area. I have probably four other people in the church currently that this is their birthday, and there have been at least two other people through the history of the church that this was their birthday as well. And so it's, you know, if you come to me and ask me what day is my birthday, I'm going to guess April the 27th, not because of anything other than it's everybody else's birthday, and I don't want you to feel left out either. So happy birthday to one and all, and we hope that you have a great and glorious day. So we are going back to 1 Kings chapter 10 today. 1 Kings chapter 10. We are working through this passage. We're going to see the reason that Solomon came to the throne was that God loved Israel so that he could, so that Solomon could do justice and righteousness. That is where we are going to get, but we are gleaning some pearls of wisdom from the narrative of the Queen of Sheba's investigative trip to visit Solomon and have him address some of the questions that she had. And right now we are in verse number 4, and it says, "And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, 'It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom.'" That's where we're going to stop the reading today. So yesterday we talked about that the wisdom that the Queen of Sheba saw was, she saw wisdom in the house that Solomon had built. She saw wisdom in the food that was on his table. And she saw wisdom in the organization, the seating of his servants. So one more thing about the food on his table from yesterday is, we Christians love to fellowship. I mean, it's one of the things we have two strengths at our church that, and that is we have a love for missions and we love having fellowship together. And that generally involves a lot of food. And some of the favorite dishes that I have in my life are food that I was exposed to at church fellowship dinners. One of the challenges that we had last year was that our two strengths were both under duress because of the coronavirus. Our missionaries weren't able to travel. We weren't able to host them nearly as we had been in the past. And so we had to look for creative ways. And one of the other things that was sacrificed was we weren't able to have as many fellowship dinners as we normally would. We normally have a church fellowship dinner on a fifth Sunday. We have women's ministries fellowship. We have men's ministry breakfasts and lunches and things like that. And so there was a lot of things that we weren't able to do. Now, I will tell you this. We need to take a look and say, how can we operate with the wisdom of God, even as an organization, to help people to be good stewards of their physical bodies? I want to encourage you, don't wait until the problems start manifesting before you start addressing the problems. Don't wait till the problems start happening and then you say, oh, I've got to take care of the symptoms. No, take care of it as early as possible. We want you living a long and healthy life. We need more healthy believers because the world population is growing and each one of them needs Jesus. We need you to be walking in faith, walking in health, walking in victory, because the job is big. We need you operating in wisdom. Okay, so verse number 4 goes on. Yesterday we ended with the organization, the seating of his servants. She goes on and she talked about the service of his waiters. The service of his waiters. There should be training that goes on. There should be a teachability that resides in the heart of every Christian that says, how can I do my job better? Okay? And if you don't think that it can be better, then it never will be better. Okay? Now, I am a pastor, but I'm still looking for ways to be a better pastor. So we have, like I've told you, all of my kids are grown. All are actively involved in their church and they are doing wonderful. And one of the things that I ask my kids, because they have been invested in other churches and all of those churches are thriving and doing well, is like, is there anything that you have gleaned where you are that could help me to be a better pastor so that we could serve our community better? And that's not a new question. I've been asking my kids those questions since some of them went off to college and they were being exposed to other churches. And sometimes they would say no. Sometimes they come back and they say, you know, we could upgrade this technology here. But there needs to be an understanding of what the culture of the house is. So at Merit Assembly of God, our culture is to be a blessing. To be a blessing. And so we need to help people to understand there are ways that you can be a blessing. And I remember we had a missionary that was with us, and one of the men testified about what God had spoken to them to do, and the missionary said, that's awesome. He said, I'm probably going to take that and I'm going to share that with other people. And that's really one of the things that we strive to do. So whenever, you know, if we have a good idea, we like to pass it along. So that same missionary, years before, and listeners to the Refresh Radio program helped in this endeavor, was raising supplies to help the refugees in the Crimea region of Ukraine. And there were a number of pastors that were killed, another number of church leaders that were killed. And when that situation was going on, it was in the dead of winter, and they needed clothing items. But it's not just as easy as packing up a box and sending supplies. And so every item had to be listed. And so one Wednesday night, we'd gathered the supplies, and we had people that were listeners to the program, and they gathered up van loads of stuff and dropped it off at the church. And so our privilege was to itemize the list and get it ready for customs when it got to Ukraine. Well, every item had to be physically examined, and every item had to be cataloged. So what we did was we went down to the local hardware store, not very far from our church, and we found these very large trash bags, and they were transparent, and you could see through them. And so we organized our donations by ladies' pants, ladies' blouses, ladies' dresses, blankets, men's pants, men's shirts, men's coats, kids' coats. We organized them in categories, and then whenever we put them inside there, there was a piece of paper that we put in there, and it said, here is the list of items that were in there. 14 pairs of ladies' pants. 2 dozen jackets. Whatever it was in there, we put it in there, and everybody, when they looked inside or when they looked at it to examine it, they could see what it was without opening the box, and then they didn't have anything to put it in. So the missionary called us back, and he said, look, if y'all are going to do a project, if you're going to help us with the Ukraine project in the future, we want you to understand that the government is now wanting things in a transparent bag, because somebody sent it in a transparent bag, and now they want everybody to put it in transparent bags. And so we were thankful. Hey, you know what? There is a way that we served, and it ended up serving not only our needs, but it served the customs process, and it allowed the materials to get to the refugees quicker. So you don't have to be large to have a great idea, and anything that you are doing, you need to have a servant's mindset. Jesus was a servant leader. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, but he said he also came to serve, not to be served. Church should be about you becoming a child of God, being adopted into the household of faith, and finding the place in your house, in the church where God has placed you, where you can serve to the glory of God. I don't know about you, but nobody in my house really likes it when other people are up doing things that need to be done, and another person is sitting there oblivious to everything that was going on. We didn't train any of our kids up to be that way. If we were painting, everybody was moving furniture out of the way, or they were painting, or they were cleaning up, or all sorts of stuff like that. In the body of Christ, there is an assignment that God created you for from before the foundation of the world, and he wants you and I to do it to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it unto the glory of God. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it. Every job description at church should be, this is the way that we're going to do this, and this is what you're responsible for, and anything else that needs to be done, that's what needs to be done. So there are times when I have had someone come up on Sunday morning and say, Pastor, a light just burned out in the ladies' room. That anything that happens in the ladies' room on Sunday morning is one of those things that I just don't like to hear. And so I will go and I will find a trusted lady and I will say, you stand here and make sure nobody comes in there while I'm doing the changing of the light bulb that needs to be done. Somebody else could change the light bulb, but they seem to come to me. I was at a funeral several weeks ago, and it talked about how this man had such a servant's heart that somebody was looking for a plunger because there was a toilet that needed taken care of in the ladies' room, and his wife was going to go in there and says, oh, no, I will take care of that. And so all three of them go into the ladies' room, and he takes care of the toilet, and when he goes out, the other two ladies are still in there, and there happened to be a third lady in the restroom as well that nobody knew about. And she said, I was just staying right where I was put because I didn't know. You and I, we need to have that servant's heart. Everybody got a big chuckle out of that situation. If you have a servant's heart, you are never going to serve in obscurity if you serve with excellence. Too many times we bring the mindset of, well, I'm serving in God's house, and they ought to be happy with whatever I'm doing because I'm doing it for free. Okay? That's fine, well, and good, but let's look for the best way to serve. Sometimes it is not serving harder. Sometimes it is serving smarter. It is serving to the best of our ability. And she noticed the organization. She noted the way that they served, and she noticed their appearance. Jesus told a story about when people were fasting. He said, when you are fasting, I'm going to put it in Bob Arthur's vernacular here, don't look so doom and gloom about it. Don't go around, so that everybody knows, I'm dying over here. He said, do it in a manner that people aren't going to notice that you're missing. Fasting is not about what you are giving up physically. Fasting is about what you are gaining spiritually. And so we need to make sure that we present ourselves in a manner that is going to demonstrate wisdom. Now, you are never going to see me in serving in skinny jeans. Nobody wants to see that. Okay? I understand that there are people who their attire that they wear is designed to appeal to the people that they are ministering to. I understand that. Another thing you're never going to see is me in a man bun. If you ever see me in a man bun, you know a comedic skit is going on because it's just not going to happen. In my opinion, man buns make my 6-inch afro from high school look a whole lot better. But they have their reasons for their appearance. I also have my reasons for my appearance. And And the reason that I dress the way that I do is because when I'm there on Sunday morning, I'm there not just to serve a congregation, but I'm there to serve the King. And when I show up, I want to be dressed for the King. I want to be dressed not to impress anybody else or anything like that. I did a sermon here several weeks ago, and everybody came up to me and said, your tie was crooked. And then I saw the Facebook Live video, and the tie wasn't crooked. It was really crooked. It was like, and I was like, oh man, I wish somebody had just come over and got that a little bit straighter for me. But I didn't know that my tie was crooked. If I'd known my tie was crooked, I would have fixed it. I believe that you ought to dress for your best for the King. And I'm not talking about to where everybody says, ooh, look at their hat, look at their fancy dress and all of that sort of stuff. That's not what it's about. A missionary friend of mine said, look, when I look at the news, all of those people are still wearing coats and ties, and they're just talking about the news. My story was I was in a golf tournament at a very prestigious golf course. I'd been invited. It wasn't on my dime or anything like that. Somebody had invited me to this golf tournament and a very prestigious clubhouse. And the lunch was being served in there. And a friend of mine had come in and he had one of those hats that looks like a golfing cap. And it's got fake hair that comes up on top of it because he didn't have any hair on the top of his head. And he wore that hat into the clubhouse, and this is, you know, not ancient history. This is still the rule today. And the hostess came over and said, "Sir, you're either going to have to remove your hat, or you're going to have to leave the restaurant." And I sat there, and you know what he did? He took his hat off. And I said, why is it okay for a restaurant to have a standard, but people don't understand that we need to honor God with the way that we appear? So I'm not saying this for condemnation or anything like that. I'm just throwing it out there. Is there wisdom, however that wisdom looks, is there a wisdom to the quality of your service and the appearance that you have? Because there needs to be. There needs to be a reason why you do it. If God's told you to do something, then I'm good. I'm not here to judge or anything like that. I will tell you this. We cannot be looking at people's appearance in a critical manner. You know, even the guy with a man bun, I'm not there to criticize him. You're just not going to see one on me, or the skinny jeans. Nobody wants to see that. There was a lady that I know that went to church, and when she came to church, she put on the best outfit that she had. She was a new believer. And the outfit that she wore wasn't necessarily an outfit that other people would have worn. Understand, brand new believer, just been baptized a couple of weeks before, had a really, really horrible day that morning and showed up in the best outfit that she had for church and brought people with her. And somebody didn't wanted to help her understand how to dress, and she never came back. She never ever came back. I want you to conduct yourself in a manner where people see that there's a manifest difference in your appearance before Jesus than there is after Jesus. Jesus ought to make a difference. The appearance that you have, there ought to be a smile on your face. There ought to be a gleam in your eye. There ought to be the joy of the Lord in your countenance, in your demeanor. The favor of God changes your appearance. You are not a prisoner of hopelessness. You are a prisoner of hope. A prisoner of hope. And when you come to serve, I pray that you do so in a manner that people are going to say, wow, has God made a difference in that person's life? I don't know if you've ever encountered a person that their appearance was one way before Jesus, and after Jesus got a hold of them, they were clothed in the garments of righteousness. They had put on the garment of praise. They were equipped with the armor of God. They had, their appearance had completely and totally changed because they were serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, I'm not saying submit yourself to criticism, but what I will say is let's maybe take an assessment at some point in time and say, what do things look like? Could they look better? Could they look better? And I think you'll find that at times there are some things that we can do to upgrade our appearance to represent Jesus that don't cost much effort. God bless you. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
You should see the stars tonight. How they shimmer and shine so bright. Against the black they look so white. Come down from such a height to reach me now. You reach me now. You should see the moon in flight, cutting across the misty night, softly dancing in sunshine, reflections of its light. Reach me now, you reach me now. And how could such a thing shine its light on me and make everything beautiful again? You should feel the sun and spring coming out after a rain. Suddenly all is green, sunshine on everything. I can feel it now, I feel you now. And how could such a thing shine its light on me make every